It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways, and all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
KNBC 9's Jackson Kurtz is getting answers. This one has them crossing the state line into Johnson County.
Well, that report was on 610 Sports Radio this morning.
I've never heard of that. Why are you listening to the AM?
Oh, that's good. That is really good.
Thank
610
you.
Sports Radio. Thank you. Blast from the past. A little retro going on. How are you, Dusty?
Doing fantastic.
God, welcome.
Well, that
to
report was on 610 Sports Radio this morning, saying that the team has contacted the Jewish Community Center.
That went viral yesterday, huh?
I guess.
What was new and different yesterday? By 7 o'clock's gonna go viral. If you thought yesterday went viral, look out, Overland Park. We got more information coming your way at 7 o'clock.
Hey, I'm just here. I just started. Look, my job's to eat food, to throw in a joke or two, and set them up. No,
yeah.
I'm kidding.
No, that was wild yesterday, man. Like, out of nowhere, I'm like, I don't know who these people are, but hi, how are you?
How are you? Good to see you, right? Yeah. Like, I said to our boss yesterday, Steve, like, why did this one take off so big? I said, we've been saying the same thing about this 119th location for many months now, right? Mm-hmm. It's been a while that we've been talking about that 119th location, but for whatever reason, yesterday, oh my God, you would have thought, like, Woj came in and dropped a Woj bomb, but
Shams now.
Yeah, Shams bomb. Yes, exactly. So
we'll
see.
That report was on 610 Sports Radio this morning.
Oh, is that where that was located? Was that from Channel 29 last night? Is that where that one was at?
36.
Oh, 36.
Well, that report was on 610 Sports Radio this morning saying...
I love it. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
I woke up to a text this morning from my mother-in-law congratulating you on your food video yesterday.
Oh, gosh.
Well done. Tell Dusty,
thanks.
That was outstanding yesterday.
Yeah, tell that to my scale.
did you eat everything or did you just take a bite of everything when you were out
there? Yeah, so Kramer and I did it. It was fun. We got in there yesterday, tried a bunch of the food. Very nice to the Royals for having us. It was a good time. Our friend Emily was pissed. I didn't
Why?
Because we didn't let her know what was happening.
She does work there. I mean,
dude,
you know.
She was like, I would have came downstairs if somebody would have let me know.
Oh.
I was like, look, I got an email. The boss said if I could go. And I said, yeah. She's
but
like,
we did talk about it on the show all morning long.
True.
So there's
That's
kind
true.
Of no hey. Excuse right
hey, man,
there, right?
Yeah. You call her out. She was shooting piss and vinegar yesterday, man. And I was like, I don't know where this is going.
She's just back from Arizona. Got back in late Sunday night. Give her a little bit of a break. She's a sweetheart.
I am, yeah, no, totally sweet. You take a bite out of it, you'll be a diabetic. It's a terrible joke,
that's
but kind of
sweet
funny.
You are, right? Yeah, yes, no exactly.
No, but it was cool. Like, it was, you know, I'd never really done anything like that before. And so Kramer and I went out there. He did some stuff for The Wolf, for Zeke and Cody. And then we did some stuff, obviously, for the station and content. But
what was the best thing you ate at the ballpark yesterday that people can have going out there this year?
Yeah.
You had, like, fried lobster on a stick at one point.
That was good. Yeah, dude, that was good.
Are we selling fried lobster on stick this year?
Dude, it was something different because, it's supposed to look like a corn dog. And it was, like, lobster fried in tempura. And, it was just... It was nails. The slugger dog was pretty decent just because it was like chorizo.
Yeah.
But I mean, how you will eat that at a game, challenge accepted if you want to do that.
Sure.
It was really, really good. I will say this. That cork they had, that was a hard tea, like lemonade, that was fantastic.
Okay.
That was pretty nails. Like, nice. It was like a lemonade tea canned crafted cocktail. That's something like we were talking about, like baseball in July when you just melt sitting there.
Right. Yeah.
Like, you're not drinking a beer. Maybe you are. You're chugging it.
Yeah. It's a lot at that point. Yeah.
But like, that's the time of year where you're like, I can put my Mandem down and drink like a seltzer because it's more crispier. It's nice.
It's more refreshing.
So, yeah, for sure. So that was good. But just the experience of like being in the crowd, like, to be honest with you, Diamond Club, never done it. Never been in there, really, other than, like, that's where we enter to go to the press box.
Right.
But, like, I've never been past those doors. Felt like I was on the Titanic. Like, I thought I was, like, waiting for Jack to greet me at the top of the stairs.
Oh, I was just thinking because the stadium was sinking or something.
No, golly.
Didn't know where you were going with that one.
No, it's just, like, it felt like I was in a place I didn't belong. Like, normally I sit in, like, section 431.
Right, yeah.
You know, sunburned, yelling. I'm, like, the guy from the major league that's in the back talking to, you know, Charlie Sheen. I guess that's Randy Quaid. So I don't know, like, it was really good time. It was really good food. It was stuff that, like, I would never think about because I'm like you guys. Like, I go to a game and, like, I'm very simplistic. Like, I want a beer, I want, you know, peanuts, I want
hot dog
nachos, a pretzel. Like, that's fine. But I will say, like, every once in a while it'd be nice to kind of have one of those days where you're like, you know what, we're going to eat with our, you know, our pinky out.
Right. And we're going to go eat lobster at the ballpark. That sounds really good.
And when I pick up an extra shift, this is why.
Right.
But no, it was a really good time. I'm glad that she enjoyed that content. We try to just be, fun and let it be free.
Well,
and
it was
a good time because I've always admired those guys that do those shows.
Yeah.
Like, I've always admired, like, Guy Fieri and, like, Adam Richman.
Oh,
and
I do too. I'd like, love to do stuff like that.
I've always
that.
Said
yeah.
that Guy Fieri has the best job in the world. And a lot of people are like, nah, the best job in the world is the backup quarterback to Mahomes.
Well,
like,
yeah, there is
that might be. But like,
it's only a one-year job. Guy continues his for a long time.
Yeah.
You know?
So, I mean, like, it'd just be cool to, like, be one of those traveling, like, hey, I'm in, you know, Nashville. I've never heard of this place before. And then you eat something, you're like, oh, my God. It's like, you know, you go to Arizona.
Yeah.
And you're like, hey, I need a pizza place, Maloney. Give me one. And then you're like, he's like, hey, go to this one.
Pizza,
like,
Lisa in Sedona. I'm going to tell you, if you ever get to Sedona, Arizona, Pizza Lisa is where you go. We went to a Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives Mexican restaurant in Flagstaff. Mm-hmm. And I didn't, you know, make a reservation there because it was Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives. I looked up, like, best Mexican food in Flagstaff, and this one came up. It happened to me, so I made a reservation. Ipso facto, here we sit. Boy, they were really selling that Guy Fieri was there, though.
Like, oh, yeah.
Here's the item he had. They had it on the menu. Like, you've been to some of those places, I'm sure. I think everybody probably has. A lot of them don't have a, like, this is what Guy had
right.
at this place, but this place did. And we're like, all right, we'll try it. You know, it was, you know, some kind of, it was a sopapilla, but it was, like, filled with beef and stuff. It was tremendous. It was, you know, outstanding, great food and whatnot. But I didn't choose it because of that. But it was still kind of cool that, you know, kind of he went there and did his thing.
Well,
and,
he's kind of a slop lord, too. Like, he likes, like, trash can nachos.
Yeah,
like,
right.
Got the sodium count on the chili cheese tater tot loaded fries. Where the hell, that was 1,800 milligrams of sodium.
Oh, God, yes.
So, I mean, like, that's kind of his shtick.
Yeah.
And then I have noticed, like, a lot of people that enjoy going to, like, maybe places that he's been to, like, a lot of those places aren't even open anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just kind of like one of those, was he doing them a favor? Was he,
right.
like, trying to whatever? But
a lot of places that were on, like, Restaurant Impossible and Bar Rescue aren't open anymore, too. You know, where they go in and they redo your restaurant and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
John Taffer and then... Why am I blanking on the guy that was on Food Network? The British guy, Muscles.
Oh, Robert?
Robert Irvine.
Chef Robert Irvine.
Yeah, like in his places, too. Some of those places have closed down. But I always liked those shows. I thought those were really good
television. I've heard
shows.
Stories of
the Taffer stuff is like he'll go and like do that and they'll like remodel it. And then the people that get their like bar remodeled, sell it.
Good for them. Yeah.
Because they have A, notoriety, B, it's been renovated.
Right.
And it's like, hey, I'm going to sell this and make money off it and get out.
Get the hell out.
That's exactly what they do. Which I was like, it's actually a bold strategy because like he's going to places that need help, that need renovated and need like a cultural change. And then they do it. It's on TV and you're like, hey, you want this business? It's got new floors. It's got a new bar. It's got
ceiling. Yeah. It's got all the new stuff that you're going to put in anyway.
100%.
Yeah, you got to go with that. So, but those shows have ended, I think. I think Taffer's still around, but I know Robert Irvine is not still around.
But he's still jacked.
Oh, my God,
And now Guy Fieri is Food Network. Have you noticed that?
He is, yep.
Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives. Guy's Grocery Games, Tournament of Champions.
Like he's everywhere. Yeah.
And then there's his son.
Yeah.
Just like Jack
Fieri.
No, I think it's like Hunter.
It is Hunter, yes.
Yeah, I think he has two kids. I think their names are Hunter and Gunner.
Yeah.
And then, or something like that.
Something like that. Yeah. And he brings the kids along. The kid's like, that's good.
But what I do respect is like, I think his wife is like, I don't want to be in the limelight. And you never, it's like Peyton Manning's wife.
Yeah, you,
like,
never, you never see there. Nope. Yeah. Peyton Manning, 49 yesterday, by the way.
Really?
Too. Yeah. Celebrated his 49th birthday yesterday. Peyton Manning did. So one more for, and he's 50. Another trip around the sun for Peyton. So
he's what? He's been out of the league. He's in the Hall of Fame, right? Like, he already got inducted?
I think
last year was, like, 2016, so he passed.
Yeah.
I just couldn't remember when he got, because, like, now we're waiting for Eli to get in.
Eli, yeah. Didn't get in this year. Get in next year, I guess, maybe. But, I think Peyton already got into the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, he had.
2021.
Oh, God, it's been that long since he's been almost retired a decade now, when you think about it. I mean, he went in 2021. That's 5 years prior. I mean, my goodness.
When Peyton Manning legitimately went into the Hall of Fame, this was still relevant.
Well, that report was on 610 Sports Radio.
We have fun.
Yes, we do. Yeah. We got to have a lot of fun. So
how was your, what did you guys do yesterday? Since we're breaking the seal on what our afternoons were like. It was the first time we were together in a week.
Yeah.
Did you go home and keep your phone off?
I went to the gym, took a steam and got a workout in, talked to my friend Richard, who continues to lose weight. I mean, it's just unbelievable.
Took a steam, is that like a number two? Or
no,
is that,
no. Like, sat in the steam room. Yes, it clears out the pores,
like,
man.
Like, what did you think when you were like, yeah, took a steam? Yeah. I'm like, all right.
He loves the steam room.
I love the steam room.
That Whataburger's coming back.
Oh, no, In-N-Out. And Whataburger goes right through you. Yeah.
What did I just eat?
Yeah. In-N-Out stays in for a while, keeps you full and keeps you healthy. But no, I've got the allergies back, though, man. Those came back right away. That's the thing I'm dealing with this morning. Are you still dealing with that? Or are you over
that now? No, I got back on the Allegra.
Did you?
I just said, screw it every day. Pop it and get immune. Like, I can't do that, man. Like, last Thursday and Friday, I sounded like Chucky from the Rugrats.
Yeah, I took a Sudafed this morning to try to dry that stuff up because, you know, your eyes leaking and it's all this kind of nasty stuff. It's just
awful.
You
start twitching.
Yeah, you do. Means baseball's getting close. I watched the Royals a little bit last night on the Ranger broadcast.
By the way, did you hear Waka's numbers?
Not good.
8 home runs in 16 exhibition innings.
It's not been good.
Issue?
No, I'm not worried about
that. Is that Arizona
yet.
Fences?
That's Arizona, man. Balls are flying out of the ballpark.
I was listening
there.
On the radio for some reason, and I was like, I'm sorry, he say 8 home runs in 16 exhibition?
And his ERA is like 8.21 going into the game yesterday or something like that.
I was like, please don't do this to me.
No. Don't be concerned about that. I mean, look, we can't get too excited, too upset about anything that happens in spring training. The ball just, you know, barrels out of that ballpark, man, because even the Rangers announcers were saying last night, who brutal, by the way, were saying last night that, you know, that would have been a home run and surprise. That would have been a home run and surprise. That would have been a home run and surprise. So there's so many, you know, variables that affect these spring numbers. I wouldn't be concerned about now, if we're sitting here on May 1st and his ERA's at 8 and he's giving up all kinds of home runs, and maybe we have a conversation.
No, he'll be fine. Because they announced the rotation yesterday is official going forward. As you can imagine, it is. Reagans, Lugo, Waka, Bubich, Lorenzen.
Yeah.
Lorenzen stayed back Wednesday to pitch his final outing. Waka pitched last night, and I believe it is going to be, is it Lorenzen
it would
tonight?
It have to be Lorenzen tonight.
I think it's Lorenzen tonight, and then Cole Reagans is ready to go for Thursday. I'm ready to go for Thursday.
I am too.
You
it's
all
time.
Are probably ready for Thursday. Going to be 73, a little humid, a little windy.
That's fine. Long as it's nice, long as it's pretty, long as it's beautiful. It's opening day. That's all that matters. Get the toe slabbed on the rubber or whatever they say and start this thing, you know?
Yeah. The Kansas City Chiefs, they've brought a lot of guys back. They brought one guy back on the franchise tag. Why he wants to stay home. We play the audio next here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for the Kansas City Chiefs.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for Royals baseball. 96.5 The Fan.
And we're back here on 96.5 The Fan. Fesco, Dusty, Mac Morey with you.
closer and closer to opening day. One more sleep, right? Two more sleeps, tonight and Wednesday. Who the hell is sleeping Wednesday? All three of us.
Please, hopefully.
Yeah. No, I get goofy on Wednesday. Like, the night before opening day, that's just...
It's like Christmas Eve. It really is.
It really is for me, because I don't know, man. There's just an aurora, an aura of...
If you were listening, if you were listening.
Yes. But no, there is an aura for me when it comes to opening day. Like, it's just like it's back. And then like a week later, I'm like, man, we got 150 more games.
Right. Yeah. We all make our snap judgments on Thursday after the game, right? Oh, this is how the season's going to go. Yeah. It's like the old Family Guy. And the first pitch of the season, and it's gone. And yeah, we suck again. You know, it's like season over. Like, we all rush to judgment on that first day of the season. And
it's a Mets and a Braves game, the first pitch, and it's gone. Yeah. And the season's over.
Season's over, right? So, but that's kind of what we do on opening day. That's the beauty of it. Everybody makes their rash decisions, and then we go and hibernate for a couple of weeks, and then, you know, come back out May or June if the team's winning, everybody's excited. If they're not, you move on to the draft and you talk football. But I think it's going to be a good year. I'm really, really, really excited about this baseball season. As we talked about yesterday, those players are telling everybody, we know we're in the playoffs. And so that's a great great attitude to have. You know, going into the season, you want to know you're in the postseason. So let's go. Let's hold them accountable and let's get them into the postseason. Q will join us tomorrow, I guess. So we're going to start the baseball cycle and start getting, you know, some of the baseball folks on the station. I talked to George a little bit yesterday. He's going to join us on Thursday as well at some point. So
GB5.
We're kind of getting this thing moving in the right direction where it is baseball season, and it should be an exciting baseball season where I don't want to say you're living and dying on every pitch because it's the regular season of a baseball game, but you are going to be interested all season long in what's going on out at Kauffman Stadium.
Will be a sellout for sure. Do you think there are any Chiefs players there
on opening day? Yeah, I think so. I think Mahomes will probably be there. I think Andy Reid will be there. Brett Veach. Those guys normally go to opening day and, you know, participate in that. There's a good synergy too between the two ball clubs right now, right? With the Chiefs and Royals, it didn't used to be that good synergy, but since John has taken over, he's a big time Chiefs fan as well. He's done a great job in making these two organizations like each other again. When, you know, other ownerships were involved, they didn't like each other. So now they do, and that's good. I think it's really awesome to see Andy Reid at opening day. Hey, if Travis wants to bring Taylor to opening day, that'd be cool.
Mm. God.
Could you imagine?
No. It's already a sellout. It's already the first game of the year. I'm already, like, already there. You throw that in there.
Yeah.
Could be crazy. There's your food there.
There it is. I'm watching it on the TV yesterday. Yeah, it looks good.
This was Trey Smith on Up and Adams, I believe, yesterday, talking about how he wants to stay in Kansas City forever.
You were one of two players, my friend, to be franchise tagged this year. T. Higgins got his deal. What's up? Where are we? Where are we in the process?
Yeah, shout out to T. Higgins, man, two Tennessee boys. They were in the same high school class, too, so really cool to see T. getting paid. You know, ultimately, man, I can only focus on just working out and training, you know, and I love Kansas City. It's my home. I love the Chiefs. The fans in Kansas City are some of the best people I've ever been around, and, you know, ultimately, I would love to stay there, and that's my plan.
I thought Gold made a really good point on their show where he said I think the national media gave the Chiefs like an A- on the offseason.
I've seen D's and C's for the
really?
Chiefs. Yeah, I was just looking at one yesterday.
Damn.
Somebody gave them, some pro football made up website gave them a D, and I saw, I think it was CBS gave them a C.
Well, I mean, I've seen like A-, B+.
Isn't that
around.
Crazy? Every letter grade now has been assigned to their offseason.
It's like my report card.
Yeah.
There's some A's, there's some B's, some D's and C's. Yeah. But no, I think that Gold made a good point because he's like, I'll give him an A once they get the extension done with Trey Smith.
Mm-hmm.
And Trey Smith also said that Kansas City's home.
I love Kansas City. It's my home.
So again, like, I think they will give him an extension eventually. But like, that was one piece that we wanted to see come back. We wanted to see, I mean, at least most of us did, right? Mm-hmm. Like, he's a future of that offensive line with Creed and Trey. They're kind of like a tandem. Like, they're kind of like, not really like, they're like kind of like Hans and Franz.
Yeah,
like
a little bit, yeah.
They're big guys that stick together, and they're the interior part of your line. They were part of the revamp of the line. You obviously lost Tooney.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of mock drafts have them taking an offensive lineman.
They brought Caliendo back yesterday. Speaking He'll join us. Caliendo. His father will join us at 8 o'clock.
That's
this
right.
Morning.
Frank Caliendo, fan of the show.
I'm getting messages from Caliendo, and he's saying, Mac's not responding to me. Like, you're not responding to Frank Caliendo? Who the hell are you?
Yeah, we had a joke about it. It was great. I was like, sorry, Frank. It's just not really you.
Yeah, so you'll have to clear the air with Frank.
Better things to do. Sorry, bro.
Oh,
wow.
He big shotted. Next question.
He big time Caliendo.
I did. It was funny.
Frank Caliendo. Now, if it was Mike Caliendo, you better believe he would have responded right away.
Right away. Can
I smell your jersey too, Mike?
What do you need?
Yeah. Do you take your socks off randomly in your house and put them someplace that you know shouldn't put them? No, but I mean, I think that's great. I think that is part of like the future of the Chiefs is like keeping that sort of block together, which is your center, your battery mate for Patrick Mahomes, and then your right guard and Trey Smith. And then you just keep that locked up. And then, man, I mean, it's still a lot of questions though on that left side.
No doubt there are. And it's going to, you know, we'll see what happens. I mean, you got to trust this organization. I know the left tackle spot has been kind of iffy since, you know, our guy Eric Fisher decided to retire and move on. And look, they haven't been able to find that guy. They've not been able to find that right piece there. But that's why it's so important to, you know, keep Trey Smith intact as well. And I think, look, they'll figure it out. They always do. And we'll end up in the Super Bowl as we always seemingly do. So, I mean, what do you expect for a free agency grade? I love when people give these grades. We don't know what it's going to be like, right? We don't know how these guys are going to play. What if this Jerry Tillery, who we found out about yesterday, comes in and has 8 sacks for you? Then all of a sudden your free agent grade that people are giving C's and D's becomes an A because you got a guy on the defensive line that's getting after people. They re-signed Pinnell yesterday, mm-hmm. you know, as well for that defensive line spot. So
they are literally running it back.
They for the most part, I mean, there's obviously some changes in there.
Hollywood Brown, Kareem Hunt, Nick Bolton, Trey Smith, Al Minnehue, Pinnell.
Yeah, but which one of those guys would you say, I'm kind of done with, you know, I'm ready to kind of move on from. Maybe Juju.
Maybe Kareem.
Yeah.
I know that he's got unfinished business.
Right.
You know, not to quote Casper, but like he's got unfinished business. He wants the Super Bowl. He wants it with the Chiefs. He wants to have that sort of opportunity. He got so close last year. And then obviously the end result was not what they wanted.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. So maybe Kareem you could have moved on from, but how much is that really going to cost me? Right. So you're not breaking the bank with
like
a lot of those guys.
Million?
Yeah. Not a lot. So, you know, bring him back. He understands the system. They like what they have in him. They feel confident with him. It's not like they're running it back with a bunch of, you know, they're running it back with some pretty good players. So we'll see what happens. It's a big year, obviously, with Travis Kelce being in his last year. And so things are going to change dramatically after this season. So I think you want to try to bring it back one more time with Travis Kelce to see what you can do before everybody kind of goes their separate ways. It has graduation and we all cry at the end of next mm-hmm. season.
I don't want to like say it's like doom and gloom, obviously, but like, is this the first offseason you've had more questions than any other offseason?
Yes. I think the left tackle spot still raises a lot of questions. But what else are we questioning? I know we need a running back, and still we're less than now a month away from the draft. So still we can figure out some things.
Asking
you
two, and you can take the floor with this. Like the loss after the Tampa Bay Super Bowl,
yeah.
Were you more in concern that going into the next season than you were this one, or does this one take the cake? Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Well,
we talked about a little bit about this last week, and I said those questions from 2020 were answered much quicker in the offseason. Veach went ham on the offensive line. We're
right.
going to sign this guy, spend this money. Boom, draft comes. We get Trey Smith, who at least for Tennessee guy, I knew that wasn't a 6th-round pick. Creed Humphrey, great from Oklahoma. So right away, questions answered, and really it was mm-hmm. all on the offensive line. This offseason, got the offensive line questions. I got defensive line questions. I got cornerback depth questions. I got past wide receiver 3, do I like what we have in the wide receiver room? So I've got more questions, but doesn't mean I'm nervous. I'm a little apprehensive. What I would say to those apprehensive fans about running it back is, running it back, sure, but Rashee Rice is going to be there.
Yeah.
Hollywood Brown's going to be there. Isaiah Pacheco's going to be healthy. So running it back with all of your weapons isn't really running it back.
Because it's new.
Because it's new.
You didn't have any of those guys last year. And so that's going to be cool to see everybody healthy. Hopefully, knock on wood, everybody stays healthy and participates in this team. But no, I don't think I think I'm to the point in my life where like Brett Veach and this front office and this head coach have proven themselves, right? And if this is the approach that they're going to take, then this is the approach I'm going to look at and go, okay, they know what they're doing. They've got the track record. This isn't, you know, Arthur Smith or Callahan or somebody you never heard of or trying to tell you that they're going to do great things. This is an organization that has done great things. They don't need to tell us they're going to do great things. They're going to put together the best team they possibly can. The other thing that we're looking at, it just happens to be that the most needed position is one of the weakest available positions that we've seen in quite some time, right? Like last year, there were a lot of good tackles available in the draft. I think there were six in the first round or something like that taken last year. There weren't any available in free agency really this year. There's not a lot available in the draft this year. So it just happens to coincide with, I think, what the biggest need is for this team is one of the weakest available positions that are out there. Had they signed, let's just say, Trent Williams this offseason, everybody would have been given this offseason an A, and nobody would have been talking about any other position on the field, you know?
Yeah, because you mentioned they did it quicker, but then the two names you mentioned, they did in the draft. They went and got Trey and Creed. So, like,
right.
Yeah, they went and got Tooney almost immediately. Like,
right.
New England was, like, ready to move on. Here comes Joe Tooney. And then it was like, okay, well, what are they going to do in the draft? And then it was bang, bang. So, like,
yeah, Orlando Brown and Tooney.
Yeah.
In free agency.
And then you went and got.
Well, Orlando Brown ended up being a trade, right?
Yeah, you're right.
Trade
you're right.
For Orlando Brown.
For
yeah.
And that was what we saw a lot in this free agency, was that there wasn't really a lot of movement per se.
No.
There was a lot of retaining.
A lot of retaining, yes.
And so it wasn't just like Kansas City that was like the only team that like retained a lot of players. Cincinnati clearly did.
Yep.
Philadelphia got rid of a lot of players, retained a lot of players. But there was a couple like guys out there that, you know, obviously there was your Debos and there was stuff like that, but like there was a lot that just showed you like what the market was free agency wise. And now it seems like with everybody having, at least for now, a first round pick in the first time ever, right? Is that what that is? Like,
Everybody's still right now anyway.
And no trades yet.
Like, I think there will be trades up, and but eventually there will be trades out when you get to the later part of the draft where someone's like, okay, there's really nobody here, but we can get, you know, we can double dip in the second round. But like that shows you like where the draft is, where the free agency was, and you know, if we're gonna have basically a similar year we had last year, then like your expectations should still be high and your tension should be low because you're keeping the same mold of players that went technically 15-1 last year.
Yeah, and you've got the cheat code and Patrick Mahomes. Like, if he doesn't just give you that stability and that breath of, okay, it's going to be fine, and Andy Reid gives you that breath, it's going to be fine, they'll figure it out, you know? And they always do, regardless of how bad it is, they seemingly find a way to figure it out. And I think the way that we're all kind of reacting, and I say the collective we, like, I feel bad for Jalen Moore. Like, this guy's coming here for an opportunity, and everyone's like, I don't know. I saw Rich Baldinger called him a Band-Aid, you know, on the situation, or Brian Baldinger called him a Band-Aid, you know, on that situation. I don't know if he's a Band-Aid or not. He's really never gotten that opportunity to play. What if this guy turns out to be a really good left tackle and you're looking at a 2-year contract for $30 million and everybody in a couple of months is going, that was the steal of free agency. Look at that move by Brett Veach. So just because you're not a household name and you haven't done it doesn't mean you can't be a household name and do it. And I think in sports, we just want to have the immediacy of it. Oh, that's a name. That guy's going to work out. We just don't know what Jalen Moore is going to do. I hope he comes in here. He's a road grader and he dominates and makes all these folks that are calling him a Band-Aid and whatnot kind of shut up a little bit. So I'm willing to debate. Go for it, man. Go out there and play. I'm excited to watch that guy.
Someone brings up a text. Pretty good. Everyone that they brought back wasn't an issue for our scheme.
Wasn't an issue for our scheme.
For the Chiefs scheme, like how they did things on offense and how they, like, that wasn't like people they brought back. It wasn't like, you know, I don't know. They didn't bring back guys that like maybe didn't fit the system, or, you know, was, everyone they brought back
well.
Was like already like part of what was doing well.
Yeah.
Like, Nick Bolton's your middle linebacker. Kareem Hunt was your
just
short
thinking
yardage.
Offensive. Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, Juju, there's really no issue. Just like, he is what he is.
He's what he is.
Right. Because, by the way, Rashee Rice may get suspended.
I heard that somewhere.
And so I assume that that's why, you know, I would consider Juju a Band-Aid.
More so than Jalen Moore.
Right?
Yeah.
Right. I would consider Kareem Hunt a Band-Aid.
Yeah.
Like, you don't know what the health of Isaiah Pacheco is going to be. The last 2 years have been, you know, injury prone, and you need that short yardage guy. So I think that's fine. But like, you know, I am interested probably more so in the draft than I was any other year outside of that Tampa Bay year. Because I'm interested to see where everyone's talking about how, because now Cam Ward is the number one overall pick.
Oh, well, by far.
Slam dunk.
Yeah, slam dunk.
Go ahead and go look at DraftKings and see where FanDuel, see what his odds are now as like the number one overall pick.
I told you guys it was going to happen.
Because then he threw that pass and looked over the Tennessee Titans coach like, sup?
Yeah, dude.
What's up, brother?
And if you're Tennessee, too, you need a quarterback. Like, how do you not take Cam Ward? And first of all, if you don't, how do you sell your fans back on Will Levis, too? I mean, that's just a bad thing. When Cam Ward's sitting right there, he's like, I know you're not supposed to make all your judgments based on these pro days and in familiar settings and whatnot, but fans see that. They get excited. If you don't draft him as Tennessee or you trade out of that number one pick if you're Tennessee, I think you're going to have a lot of explaining to do to your fan base down there, you know, because that kid looked good yesterday.
He did.
Yeah.
He threw it from his 4 to the other 8, I believe.
Well, he made that Mahomes throw.
He did.
And then you have, you know, Deion saying that he hopes Shador goes to the Giants at number three and whatnot. So that's kind of looking like maybe that's the pathway. What's Cleveland going to do at number two?
I think you go get the D end and you let him and Myles Garrett just wreck people.
Yeah.
That would be so much fun. Yeah. I'm in full support.
Yeah, I kind of like that. Yeah.
I mean,
they're going to suck no matter what, whatever.
But again, you don't have a quarterback in Cleveland.
Yeah, you're right.
You know, but do you go with, Shador Sanders, who clearly doesn't want to be there. Like, if that pick happened, I could see an Eli Manning type thing or a John Elway type thing, and I would be willing to say to Deion Sanders, I'm with you, man. You go to Cleveland, you're asking for your career to be dead, and you just are.
No doubt. But the one thing that I don't think it is an issue is that, like, one thing that I do like when I, let my, tensions cool down, and I see guys that come back, and I'm like, really, Juju, Kareem Hunt, those type of guys? Mm-hmm. I look at that, and I'm like, well, at least I know that those people are part of the system where everybody seems to always be on the same page. Like, you've never really seen any sort of tension outside of, like, when I think Kelsey, like, chest-bumped Andy at the Super Bowl, and it was like, whoa.
Yeah.
Okay, maybe that's a little issue. Or, like, when, Mahomes is, completely broken from Kadarius Toney. But, like, it came out yesterday that Tom Brady admitted that there was tension that had developed between he and Belichick towards the end of their run in New England.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that ever happens in Kansas City. Now, call me biased or a homer or Chiefs colored glasses, but like, I just don't see that being the case with Mahomes and Andy Reid.
I think the biggest story out of this whole thing was that Tom Brady has a newsletter. Is anybody subscribed to the Tom Brady newsletter? Like, he writes a newsletter, and that's where he put this story. So I guess this is just a ploy to get people to subscribe to the Tom Brady newsletter. I don't know anything
about
that.
What else does that guy need?
You own part of the Raiders. You got this job on Fox. You got a TB12. You got everything going on.
You're
the most
eligible bachelor.
Now the Tiger's out. Yeah.
Respect his privacy
at this time. If you want your privacy respected, just don't put up a picture and mention it. But whatever, that's a narcissist.
What a hell of a photo.
I mean, it was unbelievable.
I love that, man. Like, I don't know what it is. Like, I just can't quit Tiger. I'm like, well, if you can't be in it, be around it.
Yeah, like, I mean, it's just wild. Just,
and they had just got it on.
Yeah.
I know that face, man. That is the shades on, that smile from ear to ear, and you're laying out in the sun in Jupiter, Florida.
Yeah, he's good. He's living life, man. He is living life.
That man had just gotten laid.
So congratulations, Tiger. We'll leave you alone. Now, what were we talking about?
Belichick and tension.
Oh, the tension. That's right. Yeah, with Brady.
So there's no tension in Tiger's life.
No, not at all. Like, Brady, he's putting about tension in the newsletter. But
yeah,
he said it got kind of tense at the end. Everybody kind of had their own thoughts about where they wanted to go, right? What they wanted to do. The team wanted to do A. Brady wanted to do B. Belichick wanted to do C. They weren't on the same page.
Well, it all
right?
kind of started with Garoppolo. Am I wrong with that?
I think that's kind of
because they
kind of
wanted Garoppolo to be the segue into the new future, and there was like, not trade this guy. We don't want him around.
We don't want him around.
I'm not done.
Yeah, keep going. And he was right. I think he probably won a Super Bowl after that, if I'm not mistaken. Then he won the one in Tampa as well. So Brady was never done. So he wanted to keep going. Belichick was ready to move on. The organization was kind of, I guess, stuck in the middle of it, and so they moved on, and he cited the tension. But I mean, 20 years is a long time to have that kind of relationship, especially in a climate like that where it is, obviously ego driven, right? And who's going to get all the credit? Belichick or Brady has always been that thing. You got to be able to check your egos. That's the beauty of the Chiefs right now, man. Like, you got Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid. They're on the same page. They seemingly share a brain. They have the same goals. They have the same mindset. Like, they're in it for all the right reasons. And I think Belichick and Brady were probably there for a while, but after 20 years, they're like, all right, it's time to move on. Brady's like, I'm not ready to move on. So we'll see in 20 years when Patrick's ready to move on what happens. But I mean, I can't feel that happening here in Kansas City. I just can't.
Is there anywhere else tension could grow on the team, though, like outside of head coach and quarterback?
I don't know.
I just think there's such a cohesive unit that I just think that everybody's in it together. Like, you hear about how the offense always is like, in Spags we trust. Like, we know he's going to give us a chance. And then the defense is like, well, we know we've got Pat and Travis. And, now you have Xavier Worthy, Rashee Rice, Pacheco, Kareem Hunt, all these guys. I don't really think that this team has that sort of issue. Like, I remember back in the only time I would ever say that there was tension was maybe towards the end of the Matthew era. Where it was like, there was always those pictures of him like putting his hands up.
Yeah,
and it
was
like,
some of that.
It's like, where is this personality coming from? It's like when you play golf with a guy that loses his temper on every other hole, you're like, you're supposed to have fun. You're not a pro golfer. Like, you're not going to shoot 70. But like,
That was the only time. And then after that Cincinnati game, once we got the audio after the season was over, where like you could tell like Tyreek was pissed and some sort of rift had happened in that locker room at that point.
And they immediately cured that, right?
Right. So, I mean, I don't know if this team gives me that sort of vibe. Like we've seen it in Buffalo, right? We've seen that.
Yeah,
they got rid of their issues. Yep. And then Josh Allen had his best year of his career, won the MVP, I guess you could say. Maybe statistically not his best career year, but he won MVP. And it just seems like the teams that are consistently good consistently seem to like have it all figured out. And I think that all goes back to when they go to St. Joe. Like they go through the trenches. They probably battle out there in practice. We've been out there and seen like, you know, scuffles happen. Like Travis Kelce almost fought like a backup tight end that was trying to make the team because he knocked the ball out of his hand.
Yeah.
That's competitive competition inside your own walls, which is fine. But there's never anybody that like really like calls each other out. And maybe I haven't seen it. You know, maybe I haven't, you know, I know the Super Bowl people were complaining that everybody was kind of like down bad and they were like, you know, not talking to each other. You're getting your ass kicked. Nobody wants to talk.
What are you supposed to say?
Yeah, you're down 28-3 or whatever the hell it was. I don't even care anymore. But it's like one of those things like, well, there's tension on the sideline. Nobody wants to talk to each other. What do you want to talk about when you're getting absolutely pulverized by the opposing team?
Yeah, right? there's nothing to have a conversation about. No, you don't sit there and talk about that kind of stuff. You're like, we're getting our ass kicked today. But what are we supposed to do?
But I think that's why we always trust this team. Like you talk about the Royals earlier, like this is a playoff team is what their mindset is. The Chiefs, I don't think have any sort of doubt they won't be back in the AFC Championship.
No, that's the goal.
Then I can't talk about it.
And I think also, too, having Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid truly on the same page sets the tone for everybody in that locker room. Because if you're player 2 through 53 on that roster, and you look at player 1 and the head coach, and they're in it for all these right reasons, you better be in it for that as well. Because then you're going to be letting down Hall of Fame coach Andy Reid and Hall of Fame quarterback Patrick Mahomes. Are you ready to be that guy that's going to let those two guys down? So I think they've done a great job of kind of setting that tone. This is what it's going to be about. It's a we mentality, not a me mentality. And people that have had that me mentality here have been shown the door.
No doubt about it. Coming up on the other side, it is a hot corner on a Tuesday. Why I think my guys at St. John should be on this list. We'll explain here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Hey, it's Matt Quatrero, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Royals baseball. 96.5 The Fan.
We'll get into our hot corner in just a bit. Couple of notes, 2 days away from opening day, sellout crowd, love it. The crack of the bat, the smell of the dog. I don't really know where to go after that.
Can we just get another song besides center field? I mean, we've evolved so much in baseball, and that's all they play is center, no matter what ballpark you go to.
Do you have the same energy towards, like, Start Me Up?
I love Start Me Up at the games.
Like when you hear that, you just want to put your finger in the air like you're actually getting ready to kick the ball off.
Yeah, you do. Like I like Start Me because it's unique to us, but like every ball, like baseball hasn't had a new song in like 40 years.
Well, there really isn't one.
That's what I'm saying. Like somebody's got to come up with something different other than put me in, coach. I'm ready to play today. I mean, like, good Lord.
He's a brown-eyed, handsome man. I feel like I am being talked about in that song.
Yeah.
You know?
I'll love it the first couple of times, but 2 months from now, I'll be like, damn it.
Maybe when the stadium moves out to the surrounds, we'll have a different song being played.
I'm sure if they get good again, there'll be a song called like Blue Kingdom.
Yeah, I like that. There we go.
There we go.
There's something different because like every ballpark you walk into, you hear that John Fogerty song. I'm like, God.
Yeah, Tech Fountains Nine, up. Give us something.
Yeah, Fountains Up, Tech Nine. That's your song.
Come on.
I don't know how you rhyme Fountains Up into a rap song, but that's the theme.
Your job.
Right. The sophomore album is Vern's theme that you heard yesterday that he broke out. So. No Royal Caribbean cruise this year. It's just the Royals roadie bus. That's what we'll go with our thing. So you can jump on as soon as possible. But that bus picks you up on Tuesday. Thursday
morning.
Thursday at 10 a.m. That's when the bus officially takes off. Because then, I'll be out there enjoying the Royals game. 75 degrees. Nice little breeze. So cannot wait. Definitely going to have a glizzy. Definitely going to have a brew. And we'll just cross all the cliche things off in a Royals game.
You gonna have the slugger glizzy or the?
No, I already had that.
Just a regular hot dog.
Dude, I'm not even gonna lie to you. I went for 3 miles yesterday when I got home.
After all that,
you eat half of Kauffman Stadium's food, you have to like burn that off.
You have to get going.
Like even Kramer said, he went to the gym afterwards. He goes, "I'm not eating the rest." And I said, "Neither am I."
There's no reason to. After you eat all that,
well overserved, but for many good reasons. Why? But it is a Tuesday, so we do our hot corner on here on a Tuesday. Mac, your name's first on the list, so why don't you go ahead and give us your hot Tuesday or your hot corner on a Tuesday.
For me, the Pittsburgh Steelers were my hot corner because I look at the quarterback situation right now and they're pretty much screwed. You look at the Giants. Giants have wanted Aaron Rodgers. Okay, let's say the Giants don't get Aaron Rodgers.
They got Jameis Winston.
Right? Let's say, okay, yeah, sorry. So they already got Jameis Winston. Let's say they don't draft someone. They have Jameis Winston. Then you've got the Browns. They're kind of screwed, but they can draft. They are in the second position. And then you look at the...
No, they can't draft. Have you seen what they've done in the draft? It's awful.
Very true. Yeah.
Miles Garrett.
And the Vikings, let's say they don't get Aaron Rodgers. They just drafted J.J. McCarthy in the first round. There are contingency plans for all these teams. The Pittsburgh Steelers literally have nobody right now. I don't even know if they have Mason Rudolph. I have no idea who's on their roster for quarterback. Yeah, it's going to be Mike Tomlin stepping in. So they're pretty much screwed right now. I mean, they put themselves in a situation where they need Aaron Rodgers or they need Russell Wilson in 2025.
There's a story that's starting to emerge out of Atlanta that says that Kirk Cousins may waive his no trade clause now after the draft if he gets traded to a team that doesn't draft a first round quarterback. So if Pittsburgh's still sitting there without a quarterback, they don't take a quarterback in the first round. Maybe Kirk Cousins waives his no trade clause. And if I'm Pittsburgh, I'm making a trade for Kirk Cousins before I'm signing Aaron Rodgers.
Money, but I get you.
You know, I'm going to make that trip because I don't want that toxicity in my locker room. You got enough to deal with in the NFL than bringing in a toxic human as quarterback. And somebody in Pittsburgh yesterday also said that Aaron Rodgers is having a similar meeting with the Giants, they believe, that he just had with the Steelers. Like, Aaron Rodgers must think it's 2015 and not 2025 where he's coming off 2 years of nothing.
Well, I heard the Giants are going to draft Travis Hunter because they have Jameis Winston. If he throws a pick, Travis Hunter can track him down as a corner.
I love that.
I thought that was great.
That's so great.
That's funny.
And true.
Why not? No, diving along as we go through on these Hot Corner Tuesdays. Mine is Rick Pitino and St. John's. Like, you were the story.
Yep.
You were the two seed. A lot of people believe the Big East was back, that you guys were going to make a run. Fell really short. You ran into Calipari in Arkansas and lost. Yeah. And then we saw Pitino show up to a game wearing a scarf, and then that got...
Oh, my God, that video. Whew.
And then it
that scarf was beautiful.
And then all of a sudden, it wasn't the scarf that we were all looking at.
Oh.
So not only was it a tough loss in the second round to Arkansas, and a team that a lot of people, like myself, had going to the Final Four in St. John's, Dusty, you should have known. Hindsight's 20/20. What would have happened if they'd have made it? Been like, how you doing?
What did St. John's do? 2 for 22, shooting the 3 in that game or something like that against Arkansas?
And then bench one of their players and ask Pitino the questions. He's like, you know what you're trying to get. I'm not going to bait into your fishing that you're doing right now.
But the officiating was brutal in that game. And
Pitino didn't say, I hope they don't F you like they did us.
Right.
Look, they fell way short. It's tough to realize that. And then, you become a meme with a rack behind you and a scarf around your neck, and everyone forgets that you were just beat by Arkansas. So tough Tuesday for me is Pitino and St. John's.
Yeah, the only two seed not advancing into the Sweet 16 is St. John's. But, hey, hopefully they are back, because I do think having St. John's back is good for college basketball. But it also shows you how strong really was the Big East, right? They went out there and bullied the Big East and then faced a team in the SEC and got bullied right off the floor with them. And that's kind of where I am on your tough Tuesdays. Are your mid-majors now? I don't know if we're going to see much of this mid-major excitement anymore that we've seen. I know everybody's blaming the NIL and all this kind of stuff on why the mid-majors, and that was a big topic with everybody yesterday, but we saw the Power Four conferences assert themselves. This is why they're Power Four conferences and not mid-majors, because they took care of business along the way. And every team that's in the Sweet 16 right now is a member of that Power Four conference. And so that's why we're seeing what we're seeing in the NCAA tournament. The Power Fours are better than everybody else, and this is also why we're going to see the expansion of that tournament to allow the mid-majors to still have a seat at the table. Now they've got to win and take care of business when they get into the tournament, but we may be seeing the decline of the mid-major in the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, because what is it? 11 of the Sweet 16 teams are Big 12 and SEC combined, 7-4.
Yeah.
Then you have Michigan State. That's the Big 10.
Big 10.
Purdue's Big 10.
Big 10.
So that's 13. That's 13 of the 16.
Yeah.
And then we're missing ACC Duke. That's 14. Maryland's
ACC. That's 15.
And then we're just...
No, Maryland's Big 10.
Big 10, yeah.
Maryland,
hello.
Jeez.
Yeah. Gotta do your homework.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, it is what it is. Like, I think that what's happened is that it's Walmart, right? It's... The big guys are always going to outdo the small businesses.
Yeah, they
right?
just like, are, yeah.
Yeah, you might have a certain thing for a little bit, but when it's good, it's only good for a little bit. And then it's like, hey, the big guys come in town. It's like the Walmart strategy.
They go to every small town. They knock out the mom and pop stores. They lower their prices. And then once all the little prices are gone, hike them back up.
Yeah, I saw that actually happen in my first job in Seguin, Texas. Walmart moved in right when I first got there. And it put Main Street out. I mean, it's like an Alan Jackson song. You know, The Little Man. Have you heard that song? Like, legit happened. It was sad.
That stinks.
Oh, it was awful.
Well, that's their strategy.
Yeah.
Like, that's why Alabama football back in the day was considered Walmart by Colin Cowherd. It's like, yeah, everybody likes a little bit of a, you know, a little bit of a change every once in a while. But at the end of the day, the big dogs always eat. And that's what's happened this year.
That's
in college
what's
basketball.
Happened in college basketball.
Like, the highest seed is an SEC team, and it's Arkansas. And some people be like, they were way underseeded. It's like, were they?
I don't know. I don't think they were. I mean, they're just playing good.
They beat a disappointing Kansas team, and they beat maybe a fraudulent two seed.
Yeah.
Maybe the two seed was misseeded. I don't know. But yeah, you're right. I mean, the Cinderella stories don't happen as much as you think.
Right.
And when they do, we put a microscope on it and explode it.
Like, right.
You know, your George Masons, your VCUs back in the day. Jinx. And I think that's one of those things that, like, at the end of the day, it's, you know, the big schools are going to get the teams. You know, they're going to go to the SEC. They're going to go to the Big 12. They're going to go to the Big 10. That's just where they go. You know, and you look at your one seeds. They're all there. Auburn, Duke, Houston, which is probably, what, the lowest of the big dogs? Like, you know, you think about Houston being a Big 12 team. They're not, like, low on the totem pole. They're still in the Big 12. They knew what they were doing when they changed conferences.
Right.
And it's worked out
well.
It's
worked
out
great for Houston,
back-to-back conference championships.
Yep. Absolutely. So you got to be a big boy, I guess, now to have any success in the NCAA tournament. I know people are kind of down on that, but overall, when we looked at it yesterday, how many Cinderellas really were there? Like a handful over the last 20 years,
right? It was
right?
less than I thought.
Yeah. And see, that's the thing. We hype up when we see the Cinderellas, and we get the perception that it is happening all the time. Like the Hollywood Brown thing. I was talking to my friend Richard at the J yesterday, and he goes, Hollywood Brown's always right. I go, actually.
Mac decided to let us know.
Mac decided to let us know, and he looked it up. Hollywood Brown has pretty much played in every game except for like two seasons. One before here and then this past season.
Yes.
That's the biggest misnomer. Another big misnomer is that there's always Cinderellas in the NCAA tournament. And when you start to look at it, you realize there aren't as many as we think.
Speaking of misnomers.
Well, that report was on 610 Sports Radio this morning saying that the team has contacted the Jewish Community Center to buy land and make room for the stadium. But we reached out to the Jewish Community Center and they told us that their CEO says that they have no knowledge of any of them.
It's like Groundhog's Day. We do it again. We give the microphone over to Bob Fesco and return about more stadium updates here on 96.5 The Fan. Your home.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty.
Thanks, Mac.
Make sure to follow us on Instagram.
What is Dax? Are you
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen. Yes, I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for.
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Do you believe you are wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
At The Fan 965 for behind-the-scenes content from the show. Kansas City's FM sports station. 96.5 The Fan.
Well,
your clothes are too tight, yet you can't lose weight, even though you've tried so many diets.
The reason you're having trouble losing weight could be a liver clogged with fat, and that is slowing your metabolism. Introducing Omicid, a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight, and it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Find out more and see the university studies at almased.com. That's almased.com.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House of the Home Theater sounds appealing. but that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. It's March, so Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this year. There's just nothing like betting in March. Breakdowns of every region and every game. From conference tournaments to the Final Horn, we'll have the picks and the plays on every single game. Cinderella spotlights, upset alerts, and some of that value for the last team standing. It's tourney time, so hunker down and bet the board with us. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.